You're with us as we talk about transportation projects and budgeting here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin has close to 130 construction projects underway or scheduled for construction this year. That's according to the State Transportation Department's 511 Interactive Construction Map. That divides the state into five regions, gives a detailed overview of each project and its timeline. What do you want to know about the status of state highway construction goals or plans? Which fixes are the most important to you? How are the roads where you live? We're at 800-642-1234. Craig Thompson is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Secretary Thompson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, Governor Evers just announced another $250 million in cuts to state agency budgets this fiscal year. It comes on top of the $70 million round of reductions in April. What does this latest reduction mean for transportation and your budget in particular?
Well, you know, I think the state is experiencing what every, you know, business around the state is experiencing, is that the COVID pandemic is certainly wreaking havoc in budgets, and I know Governor Evers wants us to be as proactive as possible and come up with those reductions, you know, sooner rather than later. The announcement that he made yesterday really is for the general fund. Transportation is funded really as sort of a largely separate budget that we, our fees, or our revenue rather, comes in from gas taxes and registration fees and titling fees, and so we're going to have our own challenges because at the end of the day, our revenues have to, our expenditures have to meet our revenues. So we're continuing to look at that, but it's going to be significant belt tightening all the way around.
But a quarter of your revenue and what your budget is made up are federal dollars. How instrumental is that money?
That's a great question. And that's right. A quarter of our total budget is federal dollars. And then the road side, it's over 50%. So what the federal government does, both in terms of coming up with whether they're going to come up with any stimulus type package on the transportation side, or even they're scheduled for to renew their transportation federal plan, both of those are going to loom large in terms of what it means for Wisconsin transportation.
A couple weeks ago, Governor Evers announced that the administration would try to revive the expansion of I-94. Are costs still a concern with this project?
Well, you know, costs are always a concern, but this is, for people not familiar, this is the stretch of I-94 really in front of Miller Park. It lies in between the Zoo Interchange and the Marquette Interchange, and we really just believe that we can't ignore it. Like other parts of the interstate that had not been rebuilt, it's over 60 years old, which means that not that it needs to be repaved, but it needs to be rebuilt. So we believe it's incumbent upon us to start the process of doing all the environmental studies, the traffic studies, reaching out and talking with the public, and doing it in a way that we think is going to make the most sense to get the most investment out of the interchanges we already built on both sides.
What is the price tag with it in 2020 dollars and going forward?
Well, part of the process that we just started up again that the governor announced is going to be coming up with a more up-to-date fiscal estimate. The best numbers we have are a couple years old, and that was at $834 million.
And what would be the timeline for this?
Well, the process right now is that we look at what was called the preferred alternative, which means there was a lot of negotiations that had gone on with community stakeholders in the department that ruled out some things. Like some might remember that there was looking at, for a little while, a double-decker option by Story Hill, which a lot of people had concerns with. That was ruled out. Changing the Hawley interchange so that the city of West Dallas, that there could be better connectivity. So what we're looking at is confirming that those where we got to still is working, that the environmental and traffic and other things still make sense, reaching out, having meetings with the public, and then really convincing the federal government that we've gone through all the necessary steps that you have to do for a project like this. And we think in order to do that, we're guessing that'll take a year to 18 months, and then we're hopeful at that point in time that the federal government will approve and give what they call a record of decision so that the state could begin to move forward.
And how much will the federal funding of dollars, if that is approved, what would be the stake from federal funds?
Well, we don't know exactly what portion would be the federal funds, but you know, with these what we call mega projects on the interstate and southeast, they are significantly there's a significant amount of federal and bond dollars involved.
In terms of what it would take in labor costs and in labor and in hiring, how many workers would be on that project roughly?
Well, that's one of the things I think will be exciting for people right now with the economy and people looking for jobs. We think just on the labor side of designing and constructing this, it will produce about 6,000 to 10,000 jobs in the area.
We're talking with Craig Thompson, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, looking at transportation funding and projects amid the pandemic. With your insights, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Chris now in Milwaukee. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. Transportation time, rush hour transportation time in Milwaukee is some of the best in the country, whereas our mass transit in Milwaukee and in the state is some of the worst in the country. We are not, it doesn't do us a lot of monetary good to go and fix something that's not a big problem and not fix things that are a big problem. Don't spend the money on that freeway. Spend it on mass transit. Thank you.
Chris, thank you for the call. Secretary Thompson, what are the projects on the mass transportation front in Milwaukee in particular?
Well, I understand what Chris said, and while I do believe that it's we don't have any choice, this needs to be rebuilt, I do agree that we need to do a lot better on the public transportation mass transit side, not only in Milwaukee, but across Wisconsin. We are looking at doing as much as we can. The Evers administration is very interested in improving the mass transit situation in Milwaukee. I don't think it has to be an either or. And as a matter of fact, as part of this project, we believe that there will be some what is known as mitigation dollars that we can partner with Milwaukee County and the Milwaukee County Transit System to hopefully improve and build upon. We were very excited to see Milwaukee County receive a $40 million grant from the federal government to get bus rapid transit really up and going in the Milwaukee area. And we want to do what we can to be as helpful as we can. We believe we can, through this project, do some things to help. But through the overall budget, we also have
like
to...
What would help? Like, where would those dollars go? How would they help?
Well, for operations, increased dollars for operations, perhaps for buses, for the Milwaukee County Transit System. But the more you can make stops accessible and frequent and predictable, the more access that we can get to the inner city of Milwaukee, all those things are going to help the transit system in Milwaukee. And like I said, getting a bus rapid transit system, which is really, it's a bus system that's going to run east-west, and you get through, there's the lights talk with the bus, and there's fewer stops, and it almost acts more like a train. I think that's really going to be exciting in Milwaukee. But part of what we have to do is convince the legislature as well through the budget process, because that part, the Governor Evers had proposed larger increases for mass transit in the last budget, but they got pared down significantly before it got to the final product.
You mentioned the word train. Is there any movement on that front and rail systems?
Well, we've actually been very successful in the last year and a half on garnering more federal funding for passenger rail. We've gotten quite a bit of money. We're going to be expanding at what's known as Muskego Yards and really looking to increase, once we're post-pandemic and things get back more to normal. There's 7 round trips daily right now on the Hiawatha line between Chicago and Milwaukee, and we're looking to increase that eventually to 10 round trips a day. And we also just recently received a grant to improve upon what we're going to be looking at is the Twin Cities to Madison to Chicago line, which is currently part of the Empire Builder line, but really enhancing just that part from Chicago to Minneapolis. So we've made some pretty significant increases on passenger rail recently.
Would that mean additional stops? Would that mean more ability to get on that train in other areas? What would it mean?
Sure. So for the Hiawatha one, it just means more round trips. Mm-hmm. With the current stops between Milwaukee and Chicago. With the one between Minneapolis and Chicago, right now it's called the Empire Building and it's Empire Builder, and it starts in Minneapolis and it goes all the way out to Portland on the West Coast, and which is wonderful, but it makes, when you have that long of a trip, it makes the stops a little less reliable. By getting this grant and putting another one on those same that same line, but will only go from Chicago to Minneapolis. We believe we can increase the on-time amount significantly, which will allow folks in the area to set up more reliable transit connections to those stops and know exactly when they're going to be there. So we think it could really enhance the ridership between the Twin Cities and Chicago.
Let's bring in Ron now, joining us from Madison. Hi, Ron.
Thanks. COVID is killing government budgets from the tiny rural towns through the United Nations and the European Union. Finish up projects that are more than 80% completed, like Walker's Illinois to Madison, 5th and 6th lanes. There are probably several others around the state. Most of the other projects should be mothballed. Finish up little segments so it's safe, and then get all the construction equipment and orange barrels off the highway for the next, whatever, 5 months to 5 years, whatever it takes for the economy to recover enough. We have to focus our limited government dollars on projects that are essential to saving lives from the COVID virus. Put the money into the health departments. Get it out of the highway departments.
Ron, thank you for the call. And I'm going to have Secretary Designee Craig Thompson here respond to you in just a moment as we talk through a range of infrastructure issues in our state. Where should our state find money to fix its roads? Do you support raising gas taxes, installing tolls, or changing the state's roads network in another way? How do you think our state should handle its transportation amid COVID? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We will be back in a moment with Secretary Designee Craig Thompson right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The western part of our state has been hit by repeated flood damage with washed out roads and culverts. A rural road may be the one lifeline out of a small town. Crumbling roads have both safety and economic consequences. We're looking at the competing infrastructure challenges around our state and what to do about them amid COVID. Still time, 800-642-1234. Craig Thompson is Secretary Designee of the State Transportation Department. Stays with us for 10 more minutes. Secretary, we heard Ron there in Madison saying finish up the projects underway and shift those infrastructure dollars to fight the health crisis that's in front of us. What would you say?
Well, I would agree with the first part of what Ron said, which is that the COVID pandemic is wreaking havoc on budgets everywhere and on the economy. I would disagree with the second part of what he said. First of all, we don't have the ability to do that. There was a constitutional amendment that was passed overwhelmingly several years ago that says the money that's deposited into the transportation fund as a result of transportation user fees like gas tax and registration fees has to be spent on transportation. So we can't take those transportation user fees and send them to the general fund for health programs and others. But we do need to be as intentional as possible in making sure, again, we have to make our budget work. So for fiscal year 20, which ended on July 30th, We ended up holding back and saved about $120 million. And for fiscal year 21, which runs till next to June 30th of 2021, we're going to be looking at making sure that we're keeping our expenditures in line with what our revenues are going to be. And they did take a hit in reduced gas tax revenues.
With people not driving as much anywhere.
Right. During March and April, driving was down a lot, up to almost 50%. May, it was back up more in June. Now it's down a little bit, but not down as much. So we're going to be keeping really close tabs on those. But, you know, at the very beginning, you know, you had talked about how we had 130 projects this year. We actually have 130 active projects now. We have 371 for this year, and we're keeping them all going. And because that's a really important part of the economy, too. If we pulled the plug on those, not only would it add cost to those projects to stop and start again, but it would have a significant impact on the economy by all the workers that would be laid off that are designing and building all these projects. And by keeping these projects ongoing, and we've been able to keep them going through this with less traffic, we've been able to actually speed up some projects. We believe it may make us eligible for some additional federal funds. And so while we have to make sure that we're very cognizant of the revenue we have coming in, we believe that keeping transportation investment moving forward, as we've seen in other economic downturns, is a really important part of keeping the economy going.
I want to talk about bridges for a moment. Last year, the state identified necessary repairs on nearly 2,000 bridges in the state, an estimated cost of $1.4 billion. What is the status of bridge repair?
So, you know, like so much of our infrastructure in this country, you know, we've got a long way to go, but we've had a very successful bridge program. We've embarked on some new programs with our local partners at the county level and municipal level to try to bundle some projects, to try to come up with some bridge strengthening programs where you don't have to rebuild the bridge, but can for much less find successful ways and safe ways to strengthen those bridges. And then, you know, some of those bridges come in and are swallowed as part of overall projects, such as the East-West project in Milwaukee we just talked about. There's numerous bridges that will be done as a part of that. So we've got a ways to go, but we're in pretty good shape of really starting to really make a lot of progress on our bridges in Wisconsin.
So bridges that would be deemed structurally deficient that need urgent repair, you're able to fix those bridges with the dollars that you have?
We are definitely reducing the number that are on that list. And I know the term structurally deficient, it sounds very scary to people. It doesn't mean it's unsafe to drive. It's a fairly technical term. But it does mean that it's on our list that we need to work through and make sure that we get repaired. We have people out testing those all the time, and they will be weight restricted or posted if there's any concern about safety. But we want to avoid that as much as possible, because once we weight restrict, then that has an effect on commerce as well.
Talking with Craig Thompson, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, looking at state transportation issues and budgets. Taking another call now, Jim is with us from Freedom. Hi, Jim.
Yes. I was wondering if the state ever looks at some flaw designs in the engineering. One example I see is roundabouts. When you're coming off a four-lane highway onto a two-lane highway, you make two complete roundabouts on each side, or complete one on each side instead of making an oblongated one. I talked to one of your own engineers, and he said it'd probably save you about $10,000 per interchange if you eliminated the inner loop on each side of the highway, which never gets used. I drive through them, and you can see gravel sitting on the cars that have never used these things. It seems you guys need maybe to reevaluate what you're doing and think about how to save money, because there's eight of these such interchanges in Outagamie and Brown County alone. Would have saved $80,000, according to one of your own engineers.
Jim, thank you. And I want to get Secretary here to respond to that.
Sure. No, I think with Jim's, you know, we've directed our people to be constantly reviewing whether it's roundabouts or whether it's materials or whatever it is. And there's a lot of technical review committees, and we have a lot of peer review, and we talk constantly with our counterparts in other states to make sure that we are analyzing what we have done and what we are doing to make sure we're getting the best use of our dollars.
Have roundabouts been used a long time, or, you know, is there something that is more popular with them in the moment of architecture infrastructure?
Well, you know, roundabouts were very, very popular for a while in terms of, when I say popular, I mean a popular topic. And a lot of people really had big concerns with them. And we've seen a lot of that change. We have a lot of communities now that are really asking for roundabouts. We have seen the safety improvements as a result of them, and I think the traveling public is getting more used to them. But we do want to continue to look at metrics and let numbers drive our decisions about whether it's roundabouts or anything else, to make sure that we're increasing safety as much as we possibly can and improving efficiency.
I want to look at western Wisconsin now, with so much repeated flood damage there. Are roads and culverts getting the attention they need to get up to, you know, to get repaired?
Well, that's a really, really good question, Kate. It's one thing about getting the attention to be repaired, but there are areas we see in Wisconsin and across this country where we're seeing repeated flooding. And so what's known as resiliency is becoming a very hot topic about, in certain parts, do we need to build to a higher standard? Do we need to change the way we, rather than just rebuilding something to be washed out again, we need to really be looking at, in areas of persistent flooding, how we're engineering and designing those culverts and roads when we're replacing them.
Let's look at rural parts of our state. Many small communities may have one state highway or one main road out of that town. How much attention do you give to rural parts of our state that really rely on one road to be in good condition?
It's hugely important. And if you look at this last budget, we didn't get everything that we had hoped for, but it was the first budget in decades, really, that had new revenue sources raised to go into transportation. And of the more than $400 million that was raised new, all of it went to trying to fix what we currently have. It either went into the we increased the aids to our towns and cities and counties and villages by 10%, over $80 million. And almost all the rest of the increase went into what is known as the State Highway Rehabilitation Program. And that is designed at simply fixing those two-lane state highways that we already have to get them in better repair. So that is really where our focus has been.
So many people getting hit by potholes. Do you have a centralized database of potholes and how to get them fixed quickly?
We have a centralized database of road condition, whether it's alligator cracking, whether it's heaving, whether it's potholes, but we don't have, it's not necessarily under the category of pothole.
What should someone do if they hit a major pothole, have damage to their car? How should they best report it?
Well, a lot of times it'll depend on what type of road you're on, if you're on a city street or a county highway or a state highway. More often than not, it might be you're on a local road and you may want to, get in touch with your city or county or village.
Really quickly here as we wrap up, what are you grappling with right now? What is keeping you up at night?
Well, we are definitely watching the revenues right now to see how they're coming in and balancing those with really trying to keep on a schedule to meet the mass transit needs that we had talked about, the road needs. There's a lot of need out there. There's a lot of roads that are not in the condition they need to be. And we're just hoping that we can manage our way through this crisis and come out the other end, that we can continue to make progress and get the roads and our mass transit systems in better condition.
Secretary Thompson, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Craig Thompson is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.